Thank you, choir. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Dalton, that thou doest, do quickly. Hey. Very the singing and by the choir, and I appreciate them. All right, if you found your place in Luke chapter number 9, say amen.
Amen.
If you're worried about what Dalton is doing after I gave him the words of Jesus to Judas, say amen. Yeah, don't worry about it. It ain't that bad. All right. But he's going to help me out. All right. So in Luke chapter number 9, don't worry, I'm not going to scare anybody tonight. And we did the service Sunday, and if you were here, the guards came in to take Jesus, and when they did, I told Brother Caleb's been running the sound for us up there, and I told him during practice, I told him, I said, look here, man, I said, I want it loud. I said, this is what I want, shock and awe, right? So during practice, he blew the fuses back here. I mean, we tripped out breakers and everything else, and I said, maybe not that loud, amen. And we had to figure out what was going on. We lost sound everywhere, I mean, everything. But anyhow, during the scene Sunday morning, you could hear the collective gasp all the way across the auditorium when that thing started. And that's what we were looking for, all right? Now, Jackson, many of you may not remember this, but I did a sermon and had Colby come in being a fan of his football team. And Colby took it upon himself to go get a gallon jug and fill it full of rocks. And he come in, and Jackson thought that we had a shooter in here. He did a roll back there in the chairs, pulled out a knife, and was fixing to kill somebody. And anyhow, when this Sunday, he told me, he said, it wasn't as bad as when Colby come running in on me. He said, but it scared me. And anyhow, but this coming Sunday is going to be special. So let me encourage you to be here. And as I've already said, please invite. All right. Luke chapter number 9. I'm going to begin reading a very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture for us. Okay. And in Luke chapter number 9, there's a lot that goes on. It is a long chapter, about 62 verses, I think. And 62 verses. And a lot happens in Luke chapter number 9. You remember the transfiguration, Christ feeds the 5,000. All of these things happen in Luke chapter number 9. But in Luke chapter number 9, one of the most familiar, whether you know it or not, when I read it, you'll recognize it very quickly, is I'll begin in verse number 23. And you will see, I promise you, you've heard this, or either you knew exactly where this was in your Bible. But the Bible says this in verse 23, it said, and he said to them all, this is Jesus speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. It was a messianic name. It's found in the book of Daniel. Daniel calls the Messiah the Son of Man. So Jesus used this title, by the way, more than any other title concerning himself. And he calls himself the Son of Man. So this is Jesus speaking, and he is speaking of himself. He says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I'll read verse 27. I won't preach on it, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And of course, the kingdom of God was his kingdom that was a spiritual kingdom. There's two kingdoms talked about in Scripture, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is in reference to a Jew. The kingdom of God is in reference to the world, all right? What I want to look at tonight is this one thought here, I called it Disciple Truths 101, all right? Disciple Truths 101. I want you to notice, first off, if you will, the very first thing is the call of a disciple. It's going to be very simple tonight, but we're going to stick to Scripture on the second point, Dalt. The call of the disciple. When you look at this, the Bible says this in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, all right, if any man will come after me. As I read these and as I cross-referenced different scriptures and everything, over and over again, people would come to Jesus. One man came to Jesus and he says, hey, I want to be your disciple. And he says, but let me go home first and bury my father. I've always thought that was odd, but as I learned and studied on this, his father was just sick. And so what he was wanting to do was he was wanting to go home and take care of his father until his father's death. In other words, it could have been a month, it could have been a year, it could have been 10 years. And Jesus told him, he said, let the dead bury the dead, all right? And then another one came to him and Jesus said, follow me. And he says, I'll follow. He says, I will. I want to follow you. He says, but let me go back and tell my brethren bye, right? Y'all remember that in Scripture? And man, I was looking at that and I was studying that. And here was a thought on that, was to go back. This is when Jesus told him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Remember all that? Yep. Amen. And so here's what he was saying. Here's what he's saying. Get your focus where it needs to be and don't look back. He talked about, and he used the illustration of a plow. And of course, we live in a farming community, so many of us can understand this and relate to this. But nowadays, they got GPS coordinates that they punch into these tractors. But how many of y'all remember driving a tractor with Grandpa? All right, I did. And Grandpa would tell you to look across that field and get a tree. And you'd line up on that tree, and is everybody all right? Some of y'all ain't know what I'm talking about right now, all right? You're the problem with America, all right? You ain't never been on a tractor with your grandpa saying, if this row ain't straight, I'm going to beat your behind, all right? And so you rode that tractor with complete focus on that tree that you had marked all the way across that field. Because when you got to the other side, the last thing you want to do is look back and see something like this going across that field. Amen. Is everybody all right? And this is what the Lord was talking about. You cannot walk in a straight line. You can't get to where you're going if you're constantly looking behind. Let me make it more relatable to some of y'all that ain't never heard of a tractor before, all right? When you drive, they make this thing called a windshield. That's right. Everybody all right? It's huge. It's right there in front of you. You can't miss it. When you're driving, you got to look through it. And they make this little old thing up there on top of that thing, and it's called a rear view mirror. Is everybody all right? It's a lot smaller than the windshield, which should tell you should spend more time looking through the windshield than you do in the rear view mirror. Can I get a witness? But some of you spend more time looking in the rear view mirror, and because of that, you get called things like idiot, shot birds, and all this other stuff. Is everybody all right? So Jesus here is telling them the call of a disciple. He says, if any man will come. Now, we're not going to get into the gender thing, all right? Because he wasn't talking about just men here, all right? If any man, if anybody will come after me. I notice first off, it was a whosoever invitation. If any man. It was a whosoever invitation. How many of y'all got that? It's a whosoever invitation. But I want you to notice this. It's a willing participant. In other words, you have a choice whether or not you will follow him. You have a choice whether or not you will be a disciple. And can I say this? We're living in a world today where there's a lot of professing Christians, but very few disciples. There's a lot of professing Christians, but very few disciples. There's a lot of people that want to grab a hold of salvation and grab a hold of a ticket to heaven, but they don't want to live a life of a disciple. All right? Now, Jesus separated. Jesus didn't live in a fantasy world where he thought everybody was going to follow him. Is everybody okay? We live in a world today where we're all about numbers. We're all about getting more, 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 more. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus discouraged people from being a disciple. In other words, this is what he says. He wanted them to count the cost of discipleship. Is everybody all right? And so we see a call of discipleship. And so the question tonight is this. Are you willing to be a disciple? Now, we say that we're saved. Hallelujah. Are you saved in the building? Say amen. Amen. If you're saved in the building, raise your hand. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, praise God, you can get saved before the end of the service. All right? But if we're saved in here, what do you think we ought to do? Come on, I need everybody in one accord on this, all right? We ought to be a disciple, should we not? All right. Now, it's an invitation for anybody, a whosoever invitation, but it's got to be a willing participant. So we see the call of a disciple. Do you want to be a disciple tonight? That's the question. Now, that's easy to say out loud. It's easy to nod our head. It's easy, but do you really want to be a disciple? Now, if you do, we got to look at point number two. Point number two is the commitment of a disciple. The commitment of a disciple. See, Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me," that's the easy part. Anybody can do it, right? It's whosoever. It's a willing participant. But look right here. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what the cross has become nowadays? It's become something we wear around our neck. It's something we put on the wall somewhere in our church. It's something we put on the wall somewhere on our house. We got one back here. We put it on a wall in our house and the cross, because we know what happened on that cross, it's become a thing of beauty. It's become something that we adore and something that we celebrate, because it was on that cross that our Savior gave his life. It was on that cross that our Savior paid for our redemption. Amen. Stay with me. But in first century, when Jesus was talking to his disciples here, this was an instrument of death. This was the symbol of a torturous death. One where there was no ease. One where there was no relaxing. One where there was no time that you could have for yourself. See, when they were placed on this cross, from the time it went up until their last breath, till they died, it was a battle for survival. They had to pull themselves up to breathe. They had to let it constantly had to move on that cross. Our paintings don't depict that. Our paintings just have somebody standing up there, and we see that and we think love. But as Jesus is talking to them here, they did not have a picture of love. Everybody with me? They did not have a picture of sacrifice. What they were seeing was death. Is everybody with me? All right? This is what Jesus was saying to them. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Die. Nobody willingly took up the cross. I'm going to go over here and say it on this side because y'all ain't get it. Nobody willingly took up that cross. Nobody willingly done that. To hang on the cross, first the cross was hung on you. You didn't walk over and pick up a cross and say, hey, I can't, I'm going to die. So when Jesus makes a statement and he says, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily, take up his cross daily and follow me, it meant something way different than what it means to the church member today. Now, preacher, you saying we should die for Jesus? We should be willing to. I mean, man, y'all better help me. Y'all agree with that statement or not? Should we be willing to die for Jesus? Tell me, how many people are you invited? How many people have you witnessed to? How many people have we shared the gospel? We're willing to go to the death. Remember Peter? Come on, y'all, help me. Amen. Y'all remember Simon Peter? Right. Jesus said, you'll all be offended by me this night. Simon Peter said, not me. Tell you right now, Jesus, I'll go to the death with you. I will not be offended by you. And I believe, hey, you've heard me say it 100 times, I'll say it 1,000,000 more. I believe Simon was speaking truth. As far as he was concerned, Simon Peter was ready to go to the death with Jesus. And I believe that because he cut off Malchus's ears. I mean, he cut his ear off. Is everybody all right? He wasn't trying to pierce his ear. He was trying to cut his head off. Oh, Malchus was quick. Simon Peter was ready. And I believe just like Simon Peter, you and I have the same confidence of it, but do we show it? Christ didn't ask us, I need somebody to help me. He didn't ask us to die for him. He asked us to live for him. He asked us to live for him. He asked us to be a witness for him. Stay with me. But it's going to take commitment. To be a witness for him, to live for him, we were going to have to what? Deny ourselves. Amen. Come on, help me. Deny himself. You know what that means? Deny yourself of pleasures. Oh, is everybody all right? Deny ourselves of Sunday fun day. Amen. I just threw that out there because some people need to hear it. We got all kind of stuff that we got planned to do for Jesus until something better comes along. Look, I'm not being strict about it. I'm just telling you, if there's things in our lives that are more important than Jesus, if there's things in our lives that can take us away from, well, I can worship Jesus anytime. Stop. Stop. Don't give me that line. I hear that stuff. I can worship Jesus on the lake. You ain't worshiping Jesus on the lake. You fishing. You ain't worshiping Jesus in a tree stand. You hunting. You ain't worshiping Jesus on golf course because he is absolutely 100% nowhere near a golf course. Trust me, I know. I have begged for his presence on the golf course only for him to say, I ain't getting nowhere near that game. It makes me cuss, all right? We make all kind of excuses. But the question tonight is, do we deny ourselves of anything? He said this, take up his cross daily. What does that mean? It is a surrendering to death. It means a willingness to go through persecution, to go through anything unto death. Take up his cross doesn't mean let's put a necklace on. Take up his cross doesn't mean I'm going through a difficult time. No. Take up his cross means to be persecuted for his sake. Is that about right? He don't want us to die. I just told you that. He wants us to live for him, a living sacrifice, remember? But a willing sacrifice that's willing to die. He said, follow me. Are we doing those things? Now, we all said we want to be a disciple, so let me ask you, are we doing all three of those things? Denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily? Because I can promise you this, you don't take up the cross just one time. And are we following him? I see the commitment of a disciple. How committed are you tonight? Number three, I see the conduct of a disciple. This is what I really want to get to. Is everybody all right? The Bible says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The conduct of a disciple, number one, he's disciplined. He's disciplined. He doesn't go through life with no discipline. He doesn't go through life by chance or circumstance. He's a disciplined individual. A disciple is one that knows their purpose, knows why they're here, and they work to perform it. How many of you got a career that you're working on? You know where you're headed. You know where you want to be. You work towards that. If that means getting up early, you get up early. If that means getting up late, working late, you work late. Is everybody all right? It's the conduct of a disciple. Y'all act like I punched y'all in the gut. I didn't, I promise. Is everybody all right? It's a disciplined life. Not only that, this is where I want to be. Is everybody ready? It's an others-centered life. It's an others-centered life rather than a self-centered life. To be a disciple of Christ and to follow him is to care about somebody else's well-being more than our own. Jesus ain't asking you to do it out. But why are we so self-centered rather than other-centered? Everybody okay? It's all about us. It's all about our comfort. It's all about the shortest walk to the door from the parking lot into the church. It's all about this chair, bless God, that I've been sitting in for 4 or 5 years. I'll throw you out the chair. Is everybody all right? With the chair. We got other chairs. You can have that chair and you can take it to your house and you can sit in that chair all you stinking want to. But when a visitor walks into this room and they need a chair, I need somebody to help me. That chair all of a sudden becomes their chair. That's the kind of person a disciple is. A disciple is somebody that cares about the needs of others, wants to see others succeed more than they do themselves. Am I wrong in it? Did Jesus live a life for himself? He didn't have a house, didn't have a car. He borrowed a donkey. He borrowed a tomb. But he lived a life for me and you. Why is it that we've gotten this thing so backward. I've been harping on this. I did it this morning in my devotion. Are you kingdom-minded? Is it about your kingdom or is it about His kingdom? If it's about His kingdom, and it should be about His kingdom, then He'll bless your kingdom. Is everybody all right? I know y'all are looking for a verse, and I'd love to help you out with it. Give me just a minute, and let me find it. Oh, my goodness. Jesus says, let me see here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I got another verse. I should have wrote all these down, shouldn't I? If y'all knew what, y'all could do it all. Is everybody all right? Let me get over here and see if I can find this verse again. I'm going to have to give it to you later. I can already see I'm not going to get it. I'll find it later. It'll come to me, I promise you, all right? Let me get back to the sermon so I can finish this thing. The conduct of a disciple, other-centered rather than self-centered. Kingdom-minded, not our kingdom, but His kingdom. And lastly, the confirmation of a disciple. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 26. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 26. The Bible says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. So as we look at this tonight, we see the call of a disciple, we see the commitment of a disciple, we see the conduct of a disciple. Are you acting like a disciple? But we see the confirmation of a disciple. The confirmation of a disciple is one who is unashamed. Y'all got to help me. It's one who is unashamed. Nobody should wonder whether or not you are a disciple. Dalton liked it. Hey, nobody should question whether or not you are a disciple. Why? Because a disciple of Him will not be ashamed of it, nor of His word, right? All right, so as we look at this, how about this? The disciples at that time, they had a reason to be ashamed, more so than us. You agree or disagree? Amen. Oh, there's only a few of you that are agreeing. Come on, help me. First century, Jesus is walking on this earth. Jesus is with the disciples. Yes, they have seen Him do miracles, but the Jews are seeking to kill Him. Everybody's coming against Him. The religious crowd's against Him. The Roman soldiers, the Roman Empire, all these things are against Him. Agree or disagree? Amen. They had a reason to be ashamed.
That's right.
More so than we do. So when Jesus was talking to him and them and He was telling them not to be ashamed, there was a reason. Because there was a lot of things that would go on. Matter of fact, we've seen in Garden of Gethsemane, as soon as the guards came, and Jesus wouldn't allow them to fight, they scattered.
That's right.
The only disciple that was standing at Jesus' crucifixion was John. Everybody with me?
Amen.
They scattered. We find him in hiding in an upper room right after he had died. After the resurrection, or at the time of the resurrection. They're in an upper room, they're in hiding. Everybody with me? Now, what reason do we have to be ashamed? Think about this. We know all about his life. We know all about it. We know the miracles. We've read the miracles. We know the miracles. We know all about his death. We have a greater understanding of his death than they did at that time. Right? We have a greater understanding of his life than they did at that time. We have a greater understanding of his resurrection than they did at this time. I mean, just before this, if you go and cross-reference the scriptures back to Mark chapter number 9, where this same story, this same account is given, Jesus literally tells them that he is going to suffer and die, he's going to be buried, and he will come back. And the Bible says they didn't understand it. But yet you and I have a clear understanding. Just 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, we celebrated the fact that he arose and come out of the tomb that we didn't cover up. Right? I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the fact that he arose. They didn't have that knowledge. They didn't have that knowledge. So we know more about his life. We know more about his death. We know more about his resurrection. We know about his ascension. They didn't have that knowledge. He'd be up, taken up. We know about it. We know about his ascension on the first day. If you ain't been in Bible college, if you ain't come to Bible college, I'll teach you about it. We learned about his ascension. How about this? We know about his intercession better than they do. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. They didn't have this knowledge at the time he said this to them. They did not have this knowledge of it. We have the knowledge, Brother Edwin, that he's going to return. He's coming back. They didn't even know he was going to die. They didn't even know he was going to resurrect. They didn't even know that he was going to ascend into the heavens, into heaven. They didn't know that he was going to intercede for them on the right hand of the Father. They were looking for him to intercede on earth and to defeat the Roman Empire. That's what they were looking for. Had no knowledge that he'd be coming again. Come on, y'all, help me. We have knowledge of all of those things. Tell me, why are we ashamed? Why are we ashamed? Well, I might get fired from my job. Level of commitment. The commitment of a disciple is deny himself, take up a cross, and follow me. Preacher, I can't lose my job. Why? You can't trust God? I've learned something about jobs. They come and go. Hey, I've learned other things about jobs too. You can lose your job and they'll replace you tomorrow. Amen. They don't care about you. There ain't nothing about you. They don't care about you. Even family members don't care about you. Say amen.
Amen.
They'll replace you tomorrow. Not even skip a beat. Well, they gonna miss me, bless God. Man, they'll replace you with somebody, pay them less money, be nicer to them, appreciate them more. I need somebody to help me. You know one thing Jesus taught us? Man, I learned this. I didn't learn it. I've always known it, but brought to the forefront of my mind today was this. Jesus never had anything, remember? He didn't have a house to live in, didn't have a car, remember all those things? Had a borrowed a donkey, borrowed a tomb. Everything that he did, Brother Johnny, every aspect of his life was dependent upon the Father. I'm going to go over here and say it. I want you to think about it. Just let it resonate over here. Everything that he did was dependent on the Father.
Amen.
When he talked to his disciples and he sent them out, what did he tell them? Don't take any food. Don't take two coats.
Amen.
Don't take, what was he teaching them? That's good. I don't care if you like it or not.
Amen.
Now, the question to all of us is this. How much you trust him? Disciple. 101. There's a call. It's for any man that's willing. If any man will. It's a call for anybody that's willing. It's a commitment. Deny himself. Take up the cross daily. Follow me. There's conduct that's expected. Oh, can't be a disciple if it's all about you. I need somebody to help me. The name disciple means follower.
That's right.
It means that somebody is more important than you are. I'm going to walk over here and say it on this side. I mean, the word disciple, does it not?
That's right.
It means follower.
Yep.
You don't follow. Some of you might. But you're not supposed to follow somebody that's dumber than you.
That's right.
Is everybody? You're not supposed to follow somebody. I ain't going to say that's less than you because we all look at everybody equal. But you understand what I'm saying. Follower is somebody that puts others first. It's conduct. But the confirmation of it is they're unashamed.
Amen.
I'll leave you with that. I'll leave you with that. We've been asking people, get folks here for this thing. It's going to end this Sunday. But our responsibility to bring others in doesn't end because the drama does.
That's right.
Do you realize we had 36 first-time attenders the first week? That's just who we had knowledge of. 36. This week, 16 first-time attenders. That's just who we had knowledge of. A lot of people don't fill out cards. A lot of people don't want you to... Don't want you calling them, sending them anything. Can everybody say, man, I'm the same way. This week, man, wouldn't it be great if we had 40, 50, 60 first-timers?
Amen.
Watched, not only got preached to, but watched, visually seen what Jesus went through. Visually see he's still alive. Understand that he did all of that to save them. I need somebody to help me. What does it mean to be a disciple to you? How awesome would it be? Fill up this church twice Sunday and see people saved. I got news for you. God's been working this whole time. Several of the guests that I've invited, they've been here every single week, and they like, hey, man, I ain't missing this thing. I had some visitors that came this past Sunday, and they were like, we got plans next week. We got family coming in, and we wasn't going to go to church, but I think we're going to make them come with us.
Amen.
Amen. Eye-opener. Y'all ready? I don't know if I told you this or not. I think I told my Sunday school class. Had a teenage girl reach out to me on Facebook. Listen. This is what she said. She said, I visited your church with a teenager. And she says, I want to be saved and baptized. Listen. She says, I want to be saved and baptized. And I've asked everybody, and nobody can tell me how. What? Brother Robbie, that happened? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? This is what literally what the teenager said to me. I've asked everybody. Nobody can tell me how to be saved and baptized. I said, well, praise God, you got to hold the right person.
Amen.
I typed it out, man. She got saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She texts me back. She says, I prayed. I'm in tears. I said, hallelujah. She said, I want to be baptized. I said, I need to talk to your mom. She gave me her mom's number. I text her mama. I said, hey, that's the preacher over at Calvary Baptist Church. I've been talking to your daughter on Facebook Messenger. She reached out to me about salvation. Give me a call. I'd like to talk to you about that conversation. Mama called me as soon as she got off work. She texted me back, I'll call you when I get off work. She called me when she got off work. I said, I got to talk to your daughter over Facebook Messenger. She messaged me about getting saved and baptized. She said, that's all she's been talking about. I said, well, praise God, she wants to get baptized. I said, we'd like to make that happen. She said, our whole family needs to be baptized. Hold on. I said, let me ask you this, are you saved? No, sir. I said, well, before we get baptized, we need to get this settled, don't you think?
Amen.
Yes, sir. I said, has there ever been a time somebody's taken a Bible and told you about Jesus? No, sir. I said, I'd like to do that if you'd let me. Yes, sir. I expect Mama to come this Sunday. And if she does, I'm going to sit down with Mama and I'm going to help Mama get saved. And work on the rest. Is everybody all right?
Right.
This is a family in our community. It has a teenage daughter. Don't know how to be saved. Nobody will tell me. Shame on us.
Right.
Shame on our teenagers. I need everybody to help me. Are we disciples or not? What does a disciple mean to you? Play some music, man. Heads bowed with me. How many of you come around the altar? We got a cross down here for you to lean on. Don't take up this cross. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Maybe you be honest. Say, preacher, it's been all about me. You ain't got to be honest with me. Say it to the Lord. God, it's been all about me too many times in my life. Here lately, it's all about me. It's all about whether or not I want to come to church. It's all about whether or not I want to do this or I want to do that. God, I want to be a disciple. And I understand the cost of that. Let's first start with me denying myself. Going to have to start with me taking up a cross daily. Not just a cross to come to church, not just a cross, not just a Sunday deal or a Wednesday deal, but taking up a cross daily, not being ashamed daily. Being other-centered, not self-centered. Following Jesus, following His words. I don't know if you caught it, but He said, if any man be ashamed of me or my words. I'd hate to get to heaven and miss out on hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd even hate even worse to be standing there with Him and hear Him say, I'm ashamed of you. I want you to think about that. I'm ashamed of you. I wonder tonight, there'd be somebody in our services. You're not a disciple because you've never been saved. There's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You know about Him. You may even have the necklace with the cross. You may even have Scripture hanging up in your house. You may even have it on your social media page. But I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about Him? I'm asking you, do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? You say, preacher, I don't have that relationship with Him. Preacher, I don't. Preacher, if I died right this moment, I'm not ready to meet him. If that's you tonight, I wonder if you just lift your hand up. Nobody's looking around. So I know how to end the service. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not ready to meet Jesus right now. Is there anybody in here? Be honest with the preacher and say, I'm not ready. Preacher, pray for me. Is there anybody like that? Anywhere in the building? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for, Lord, a time of fellowship, a time of worship tonight, a time to be challenged. Lord, I want to be a disciple. Lord, I want it to be more about you than it is me. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here. God, I ask you to continue to work. Lord, forgive us, myself included, where we've made it about us. May we keep our focus on you, our hand to the plow, our eyes focused across the field, Lord. That field that's ready for harvest. Lord, may we keep our eyes on you. Walk a straight line. Gathering as much as we can. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for what you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we need to do a business meet. Will y'all go ahead?